Let me tell you what you do not know, what you did not know you should have known. There's something very nice already tell you. When we were down there on Henry Street, something happened over a 3-month period that was very important for me to know that God was leading us. One Sunday morning, I was living up Calvary Hill. Anybody remember that? Calvary Hill, the cross. Well, the 14th season of the cross was right on my gate. You know what that is? Calvary Hill? Right. I was up early in the morning, awakened by somebody rattling my gate. Sunday morning. Anybody want to stay a little longer in bed? Gate rocking. Look out the window and I saw a man out there dressed as though he came from some place where we plant, dashing in Tobago, mud all over his body. And I wonder, what was that man doing at my gate on a Sunday morning so early? I just flipped the window and say, I can talk to you. He said, are you Pastor Robley? I said, yes, can I talk to you, please? I came outside and I walked to the gate, slowly and cautiously. I wasn't sure who the guy was. When I got to the gate, I said, can I help you, sir? He said, can I come in? No, I am close enough. Hello. Can you do what? Come in. Well, I was trying to be nice. Nice. What kind of somebody here? But while I'm opening, I said, tell me, what can I do for you? I said, where you come from looking like that? His answer was, I just came from the St. Joseph Cemetery. No, I want to go to the gate. Hello? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He walked in the gate there and he was looking. He said, what happened? How come you were at the cemetery? Did you ever fight? He said, you want to hear the story? He said that there were 2 containers of drugs and were coming to the port. And they did not want the custom officers to know the content of the containers. And the only way they could have gotten them through was to go to the underworld and deal with a rank of demons they have never dealt before. Because based on the content, you couldn't bring any kind of demon to control that. They had never been with that level of evil before. So they had no idea what to expect. But they knew the rules. So 2 of them went to the cemetery. Gave me the story. And one of them function was to bring up whatever was down there. Hello. No, you can still go home tonight, You ain't going to see anybody. But this is the man's story. It happened almost 20 years ago, And he said, the guy just wants to bring up whatever was down there and make the request. And then his job was to put it back down. When the guy who had the first role did his role, something came up. He said the thing was so horrible to look at that the man who brought it up threw himself over 2 graves and dived down in the butter down there and ran away from the cemetery. He was left all alone by himself. A good thing he knew what the request was and how to talk to the fellow, whoever came up. So after he was trembling with fear, he made his request. And then he said his few words and the thing went back down. And he came from there to my gate. The man was trembling at my gate. I said, and what do you want me to do? The pastor probably, can you evoke God? How many of you know the word evoke? Do you know what evoke means? Oh, this generation need to know a lot of stuff. Boy, tell you, man. Can you evoke God? I said, said, do what? Evoke God? I said, why should I evoke God? He said, Pastor, but let me tell you the real truth this morning. There is no other face. All right. I know. Yes. Can erase the face I saw in the cemetery. Right. I know the word evoke means it. You hate one of these nights. I have 3 weeks here or 2 weeks. 1 week. My God, have mercy. I wish I had 5 weeks here. And I just, you know. I told him, I'm going to come to your house tomorrow morning. I wanted to end the tour. He said, okay, Pastor. So I went to where he was living and I took another pastor with me. When we got to the area, I asked a lady who was at a standby, do you know where Mr. So and So live? She said, no, watch me, so. Told me, don't look at her directly, in other words. I said, wait a minute, she said, the man live up so. You know, following the story, you know. The man is so known for what he is capable of. He said, the man live up so. I said, wait, he said, up so. And she pointing nowhere. She said, the man live up so. Yeah, up so. And when I look at her, the eye blinking, up so. then she said, right now he's watching at you. Wow. I look around. I ain't seen a soul. I said, okay, let's go up so. I went up so. And when I arrived up so, I found the man on the tree. Now the man was living very far from where I live. I mean very far. We had to drive to get where the man lived. You know what he told me? He said, I sat right here and saw you leaving home. He sat right there and saw when I was leaving home. No, you're going to go home tonight. So no, you know. That was 20 years ago. And while I was in his yard talking with him about this thing now, a gentleman ran through his yard with breakneck speed and dropped a shovel and a fork and kept running. So I said, but what happened there? He said, well, I missed them tools last week. And the guy just brought them back. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? He said, I don't have to move to go and find them, you know. I do my thing and they will come back. Yeah. And one Sabbath, press fast forward and then press play now. One Sabbath in my own little downstairs, you were getting ready to go upstairs to preach. Yeah. And whatever plan he made at the cemetery had to be fulfilled on that date. The demon came for pay. And the agreement at the cemetery was his three sons. His own three sons. He rushed downstairs in the room where we were and sat down on a chair and told me the man come for him money. I said, money for my three boys upstairs, he come and I don't give him them boys today. I called the men together, I said, we're going to pray on this case. Before he began to pray, the man watching the spirit and said, no, not yet, no, I'm not seeing anything. And he looking in the spirit and said, no, not yet. Right where we were in the room, man, said, only. While your other boys upstairs singing, you have no idea what's going on downstairs. We will finish praying. Whatever came to harass him left. Amen. Are you waiting on this story not done yet, you know? Yes. Story not done yet. Hear this part now. And I'll say this tonight for a very important reason. So Pastor Robley, I want to testify. I said, do what? Testify. I said, can I hear the testimony before you go up? I'm serious. I want to hear what you want to say. And when the man gave me an insight into what he wanted to say, I told him, you cannot testify. You want to know why? Do you want to know why you couldn't testify? How many of you want to know why? Raise your hand. How many of you want to know comments and back and that people's story? Raise your hand. Let me see. No, just raise your hand. You want to know why I told you couldn't testify? Just raise your hand. Those who do want to know, raise your hand. Let me see. Those who don't care whether you know you don't know, it doesn't matter. Raise your hand. Let me see. The reason why I told the brother that we will not allow him to testify is because he told me that there were members of the Seventh Adventist Church who were his regular clients. Our scripture reading for this evening is Genesis chapter 12. Genesis. I just told you half the story. Let me give you the other half tomorrow night. As my mother always say, all things are good for talk. Anybody know them kind of talk? Moon around there, catch them. Genesis chapter 12. Anybody found it? All right. Now, what I want to tell you tonight is going to be very provoking, but I want you to still follow me tonight, all right? It says, now the Lord had said, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Had said, suggest, reveal, declare that this was not the first time God was giving the brother the call. Had said, I told it to you before. I can ask a question right up front. Did Abraham believe God? Was Abraham faithful to God? This was not the first time God was calling him to get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. And the truth in the story is, you can leave your country, you can leave your kindred, you can even depart from your father's house and still be where you came from. You can even be actively engaged in a church life and still be a citizen of the country from which you came. You can look most saintly, have the most angelic voice to sing, and even be a good preacher and still have your citizenship in the country from which you came. And even worse than that, you can even be sincerely convinced that you are not where you used to be, when in fact you are still there. Because Bible, you don't even show what is required of me not to be where I came from. In other words, do you know that you can even be where you think you are? You're not really there. Okay, let's go further. In other words, why would God ask the brother to leave his country at an old age? The man is old, his wife is barren. Why ask them to leave their country of nativity? Why leave what you have as your inheritance? Why leave your family and what they have for you and your friend? Why leave to go to the land? God didn't even give the land a name. That one I will show you. Is that enough confidence to leave with? Tell me where I'm going. A land you will show me. A bird in the hand, wood two in the bush. How many of you know that? If you tell me, give me an idea where you will take me, I'd be more inclined to move. But if I don't know where I'm going, I'm not inclined to move so easily. More than that, yeah, this won't get because it's going to provoke your mind now. More than that, God was not really calling Abraham. Oh no. It is not the man God really wanted. And you will understand tonight when I get in some really stuff, so you're going to get troubled. But say amen still, right? Can I get amen before? Amen. So if you don't give it, then I got it already. It wasn't so much the man that God wanted. But because the culture then, like now, was so male-dominated, even when you read the Bible, you still get that male dominance in the text, you know. Read Matthew chapter 1. Christ's genealogy. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. You don't know who the mother is. The whole story is about the male. When they mention a woman because she was a bad girl. I'm serious. There are only four women mentioned in the chapter, and all of them were bad characters. All of them. Because in those days, a woman's role was still attached to Eve. And even today, even in today, we are still blaming Eve for what can go wrong. I'm telling you, I'm serious. I'm gonna get the most of it tonight, you know. We still blame Eve for not having the correct mindset. She's too emotional. Yet if you follow God in His creation carefully, you will observe that God made Eve at a very significant point in the creation week. Can I get a little more amen? I want to get more energy from your voice. Are you following me? God made the man, and before he brought on the woman, he gave the man a test. The test is relevant to, is he qualified enough for she who is coming? Can I get a lot of amen, please? In other words, you see, she is not just a female. No, she's more than that. So God allowed the man to go back and recall and name every other creature before. Is his intelligence high enough to relate to see who is coming? Right. Oh, man, are easy, you know. Well, let's say amen, amen. And only when Adam passed the test, God said, I don't even want your assistance to create. Close your eyes, shut your eyes, go and sleep. Talk to me, somebody. Don't even get involved because you have no idea what I'm going to do. Yes. Let me give a little idea for love, but it's real facts. The reason why God allowed Adam to name the animal before, he made Eve. Women, who does it, please? Because a woman has the capability of displaying behaviors that is in all the animal kingdom. I didn't think she's bad enough. But you can talk to her in the morning and she's a nice house cat. And by the time it's 2 hours later, you have a tiger on your hand. Just because of a hormonal change. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm talking about. And if the man does not know how to shift from a house cat to a tiger, he has a lot of problems. And a lot of home don't know how to understand this changing creature called woman. But that is not tonight's subject. Because God made her just before worship. Can I join a little line here and then go on what I want to say? Eve then becomes a type of worship. Adam had to encounter Eve before he moved into worship. Because when he encounters Eve before worship, he has an idea what God requires in worship. You didn't hear what I just said, Jenna. And let me put another way. In other words, if a man in his own home does not know how to worship, he cannot lead out here in worship. Because you tend to bring the same attitude in worship that you have home in worship. No, that is not tonight's subject. But all I'm telling you, it was not the man God was calling with Abraham. No. Because in Eden, it was not the man the devil went after. I think you all have to get in. You know, the devil knew that she was not just a she. Come on now. Revelation 12 says that she was the church. Come on now. And you have to relate to her in that order. She is not just a female. She's a type of the bride of Christ. Somebody say amen, amen. So if you do not have the ability and the skill to relate to her in a normal form, how can you relate to the church? And what I don't like to say, but I want to say tonight with your permission, that the same guy who we know can't help the woman out there, we ask him to lead the church with the highest spiritual woman. Only have 1 week here, and I'm so sorry, you're vexed. So when God called Abraham, God was kind of paying respect to the culture. Yeah. It's not you are really want, it's she. Yeah. But listen to the part that sounds funny. You want to call the woman. Yeah. And the plan you have for the woman is even contrary to her state. Before she's called, Sarah was barren. Come on, say amen. I want to get this stuff here now. God wants her barren. And God wants the man impotent. Come on now. You see, you must leave your country barren. Because if you think you can perform, God can't work with you. You get what I'm saying?
come on, get into this. Stop, Nolo, man. Anytime you think you can do what God asked you to do, you're not qualified to respond. I want somebody who is barren to come to make children. It's not about you. It must always be about God. Anytime a church has so many intellectuals who think by their academic skill they can do right, a church could never go forward. But when you know you can do nothing without him, then you are qualified to be married to him. Thank God for the... So when God asked them to leave the country, the motive behind the plan was this: the child you must give birth to must not call anybody uncle or aunt. Otherwise, you can claim family rights. You didn't get that one, so I gotta say it again. You're right, you're right, yeah, you're right. So I was in, you was my guide, right? You're my guide. Sarah is not just Abraham's wife. Sarah is a type of the church. And the child she must give birth to is not so much Isaac. Isaac is a type of the birth she must give birth to. So I want to explain the Exodus before it happens. That the son I want to save the world must come from a womb that cannot produce. And you can know when I want my son to be born from your heart. Your heart must be in a barren state. And I've given the child name Isaac, which means laughter. No, you're not laughing, you get serious. The word laughter means you must think it's a real joke. And you want an old woman, 90 years old, and an old man, 100 years old, to give birth to a child. you remember when the three men came to visit the family? And the guy asked Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? He said she is behind there. Because in those days, woman must be seen and not heard. And then he told Abraham with enough volume for Sarah to hear. That was deliberate. He said, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a child. Can I hear it again? Come on. Exactly. You know what? That man got to be crazy. Does he know what is on my birth paper? I am already bent over. And my husband can't get no sunrise. He's living in constant sunset. And all does God expect me? And then God added to that idea frustration by telling them, Abraham, look at the stars. Can you count the stars? Come on, follow me now. You look up. Where do I begin? Okay, look down. You condescend. Where do I begin? Now, to look up and see the stars and think of numberless. Shh. Look down, numberless. But look at Sarah, it's frustration. You didn't hear what you said? To hear the plan to multiply. Look at the stars. Look at the sun. If you look at his stars and the sun and look at Pharaoh, at Sarah, something wrong with the equation. I know she's old and I know she's barren. How can she produce? The Exodus is in that story. Come on now. The Exodus is in that story. I want to called you from a place where you've not been barren. A place where you cannot produce anything to please me. Let me give you an idea before that. It began before that also. When in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our own, after our own. That was marvelous to say. But when God said, let us use dirt. Now that's not the same thing you said before. If the plan is to make a being in your own image, after your own likeness, you cannot use dirt. Come on. You know what dirt is? Do you know what dirt is? And do you know how glorious and majestic God is? How can you want to make a being looking like you, thinking like you, holy as you, and you're going to go down and take dirt? Ezekiel 28 says, Lucifer was in the garden when God came to make man. God told Lucifer, I did not take dirt to make you. I use sapphire. I use gold. I use topaz. I use carbuncle. I use beryl. They were not ordinary. That's why you could give off light. And then God fixed his position. You are a cherubim. Right before my throne. Everybody got that? Now, when God said, I'm going to make a being after my own image, in Lucifer's mind, that being is higher than I am. Come on. But when he saw the material God was going to take to make a being higher than he was, even he got vexed. How can you take something lower than me to make it higher than me? Come on now. If there was in Lucifer's mind, something is wrong here. Because you cannot move dirt to that exalted position. How many of you know about ceramics? The potter. And the clay, and you can take that ordinary clay and do what you want based on your knowledge of ceramics. And when you bake that stuff and it gleams, you call a price, and the buyer doesn't even remember it's dirt. But when God takes dirt to make his image, when God is finished, angels shall bow down before it. You didn't hear John said, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So even though right now you are dirt, don't become discouraged. For the older you get, the more dirt you become. Did I say that? When you're young, you walk it upright. When you pass your midday, suddenly begin to bow. Where you looking for? Where you looking for? Because you're going back to his home, you're going to, and if you don't believe me, when you die, we will tell you, no, we have a better way to say, dust or what? And to dust to return. And there's been nobody who ever yet challenged that. And never a dead man said, no, that ain't true, Pastor. You have a right to remain silent because you know it's true. You go by there a few years later and you can't find a thing because dust you were. But the plan of God is I could still take the dirt, put it under probation. When it passed the test, I can then process the dirt to become like my desires. So that sometime in the process, the dirt's ability will expire. But God's standard is not yet reached. You didn't get that one. Let me see it again. When Jeremiah couldn't understand God, yes, God tell him, go down by the potter's house and watch the potter with a piece of clay. Jeremiah going down there. And the potter had his feet on the wheel, his hand on the vessel, and it is being made into a vessel. And Jeremiah began to focus on the vessel. But he realized as it was almost finished, it broke. God said, Jeremiah, I am the potter. Now, if God is the potter, how come the thing broke in his hands? Does God lack the ability to prevent it from breaking? If God is God, it should be. Here, what you need to understand, hear this part carefully. There is a level to which the dirt cannot go. But when it cannot go, God has just begun to move it up. Did you hear what I just said? No, hear it again. There is a level where dirt at its best cannot go beyond that. When you have reached that level, God has just begun to move you up. So you will come to a level where you will also feel that God is taking advantage of your life. Because you can't be so honest. You didn't hear what I just said, no? There are some of us here who cannot be honest. And you don't even know why you're telling a lie. You feel if you talk the truth, you will lose your house. You may even lose your husband. So you see me not tell the truth at all. There's a lady I know in my village in Tobago who did something when she was alive. On her dying bed, she thought she was going to die. So she confessed everything. And then nature said, well, you're not dead now, you know. And she came back to face the public. And she wished she was dead. But there's a level to which the flesh cannot go. It gets tired. It gets frustrated. For example, hey Jesus, if a man slap you on one cheek, turn the other one. And some of us are so good to say, well, Lord, what do I do after I turn the other one? You know what I mean? You hit me here, and I turn here. The Lord did not say what to do after I turned the second one, you know? God, you know, he didn't say walk away. You make a choice. I only have two cheeks. You hit me one here and hit the other one, and I'm exhausted now, but that's end of your freedom. But until he says, forgive 70 times 7, you know your clay can't reach that. Come on now. We have a kid of a young lady who went to Russia one day as a missionary, and some men raped her savagely in Russia. She came back where we were. And once about in church, she gave her testimony with tears. She relived the pain. What happened? The savage that put them and took on her. Church finished. You're walking out. To her surprise, there were two men dressed him in a Bible in hand. When she looked at them, her mind pressed rewind, and the faces are the same she saw when she had been raped. I hope and the God is not them. When she came to where they were, tears in the eyes, they asked her, do you remember us? she said, she couldn't find words. And the men told her who they were. Do you have enough blood to live with that present memory? And the men reached out their hands to greet her like the black brothers and sisters. She stood there, and by the time the crowd got, because the crowd knew that something went on, you know, it's two men in the story, two men are there, maybe there's something going on again. And the tears in her eyes, hand and body trembling as she relived what they had done to her. She looked at them, they looked at her eyeball to eyeball. And the Our Father prayer we echoed in our mind, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. She reached out her hands reluctantly, and they grabbed her hand, and then they hugged her, and they all began to cry. It's a level where the flesh cannot go. When you get there, you have just begun to be like God. You are going to break even in his hands. Not because he lacked the skill, but you lack the ability to respond to that level of spiritual consciousness. But what did God do to Jeremiah's story? He did not throw the clay away. He dipped it back into the water and made it all over again. Somebody say amen, please. Come on. So when God told Sarah an aim of this great plan, they began to that God has a crazy plan. What will happen now? Before Sarah got pregnant, they had passed through Egypt. And Sarah took a lady from Egypt to be a servant. Her name was Hagar. The church can come to a place where the church can begin to lose faith in God and even suggest that which is contrary to my mission. Do you hear what I'm saying? I said the true church can come to a place where she herself begin to lose faith in God and can begin to make suggestions contrary to God. It was Sarah who told Abraham, I seem to lack the ability to produce based on God's promise. I'm getting old. Why not try Hagar? Brethren, hear me please. The true church can make bad suggestions. Mama Sarah can suggest Hagar. And when Hagar got the child, Mama Sarah recognized, well, the child is in the house, yes. But even before the child was born, I'm sure that Hagar was from Trinidad. Because she began to sing a calypso on Mama Sarah. Yes. Yes. The calypso gonna go like this. I ain't get no tune, only the words. You got the ring, but I got the belly. Yeah. I didn't feel what I'm saying, you know. I want to go, but I can't go with them stuff because you can't handle the depth of them things tonight, you know. It was obvious that Hagar had the belly. Yeah. All Sarah had was the ring. Yeah. You can be legally connected, but not producing. Yeah. Are you hearing me, church?
should not be comfortable just being legally connected to God. You should give results of your connection. Too often you boast that you have the truth, but there's no result of you having it. That's what I'm talking about here tonight. You boast how you have the truth, but does the truth have you? Yes, you are legally married to him, but you are not given results. Not only that, your age has caused you to slow down. And when you slow down, you become fretty. Complain every time you get past, you complain. What she go? What she go there for? What she? You every time and every time when Abraham came home, Ishmael will run to Abraham and say, "See if I can get a chance because it's my boy." And by the side will stand here and watch and say, to Mama Sarah, and to kill on them, go, 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 honey, Juju. The true church can make blunders. I say the true church can make blunders. But even though she make blunders, she's still the true church. Do not discredit her because she has made blunders. In fact, God has a way of looking beyond your fault and see your need and come closer to you. Talk to me, somebody. There are too many. In fact, let me get. I told Pastor McKenzie some years ago when I went where he was on in the cinema. I told him, I said, "Man, you are like silence is golden." Yeah. Said you could not wait until Sarah produced. Yeah. You try a Hagar thing. Yeah. Yeah. I right on that told him. I went to his house and I said, "You crazy man?" I said, "No, Mama Sarah look old and barren, and she's getting slow and ineffective. But wait, I say on the Lord." When the Lord came and told Sarah that next year at the same time they were going to have to buy some pampers and God a mess it. Couldn't handle this stuff. And the following year, one morning Mama Sarah said, "Abraham, I am not feeling well." You want to say amen to that? I said, "You know why it's not a few real early morning sickness? Gentlemen, you're talking about 50. I'm not feeling well, so I'm doing, I ain't know. What did you eat? I ain't know. But I am feeling well." And Abraham checked and recognized that based on Sarah's condition, it was not really stomach problems. She was pregnant. And when she recognized she was pregnant, she called Abraham to a high conference. He said, "Mister, come here, please. Listen, you see that born woman you have in the house? Do you know what I'm saying? Even when Sarah got pregnant and recognized it was not because of any bad food she ate, it was a real pregnancy." She said, "Abraham, you cannot keep that one woman under the same roof where I am. You have to get her out." Abraham went to God in prayer and fasting. "Lord, what do I do?" God said, "Whatever Sarah says, she write." Because God knows that Sarah is your wife. And don't ever allow her. Almost say what I don't want to say that I have to say. There are a lot of folks in church who think that because
court, the state give you a divorce, you are divorced, heaven still hold your wife as the same wife still. The state might have given you something legal, but God knows. Don't bring no Hagar. What did Sarah say? She said, put the woman out. She said, put the woman out, Sarah, right? But God, she told me, the Bible, she told me, no, right now, she's right. Put the woman out of the house. God told him that. And he had to get rid of Hagar. The church of God can make blunders, but she will regain her power and authority when she gets Holy Ghost pregnant. Talk to me or somebody. When the church got the Holy Ghost to start that boom and she began to reproduce the image of God, there is no power on earth to hold you down. And you ought to know tonight that there's an anointing in this place. A Holy Ghost is about to overshadow the. Talk to me, somebody. God is about to pour his Holy Ghost upon this same barren church. And give you a reason to shout. Give you a reason to boast. Give you a reason to lift up your head. You are not just another woman. You are the bride of Christ. You know, this church can rise again. Let me be a homeboy right now. I heard your singing tonight, and it's not the kind of singing you should be singing now. The kind of singing you're singing now, you're under the oppression of old age and barren womb. So we're going to try us on number 460. We're going to try us on number 469. And I want to feel the Holy Ghost anointing now. Come, this is 469. Come on now. I don't want to hear no old age, bent over, barren womb thing tonight. You know what I'm talking about? You know what is the word match? We're going to sing number 469. I want to hear all the, yeah, come on, man. And I want, can I sing funny now? I want some real singers. And so you guys sing now. Anybody want to join him? Anybody want to join him tonight? 469. Before you sing, follow me carefully, please. It is the woman God is calling. If you don't believe me, look around here tonight. Make a gender count. There are more women in church. Before you sing, I'm going to get a little more stuff. I want to provoke you for the year. It is the same reason why Jesus met woman at the well. It's the same reason. Because the idea in that book is about worship. But it could not be made plain if the woman was decent. Did I say that? And I really mean it. Because the church must have an attitude. Yes. Yes. Like a woman burning in the sun. Woman came to the well. She met the man at the well. And you have to understand the language in John is really X-rated conversation. Jesus sat at the well. His disciples gone to buy bread. And then he did it first. He said, "Oh, God, because I don't want you guys around here at all. What is about to happen? You all are too religious to handle this stuff." So when they gone to buy bread, no, the woman came and he said, "I'm going to start the talk." He asked her for water. She said, "But hey, wait. How come you are a Jew? and you all don't normally talk to us. How come? Am I that beautiful that I have actually destroyed your religious conviction? You have to ask me for what? Are you that thirsty? And this is a first line. The well deep. And you don't have anything to reach down. That is not gospel talk. But it is the kind of woman God wants to talk to. Always say amen, amen. So then he said to her, listen to her lyrics. Woman, if you know who is asking for water, you will want to give me before I ask you. Come on. This is not an ordinary conversation, you know. He is meeting her right on her level. Then he said, go and call your man. He said, I ain't got none. If you want to make a move, make it now. That's what she was saying. And that is the kind of hunger God wants the church to have as it relates to God. Are you hearing me, brethren? He said, I know you have 5. And what you have now ain't yours. And you still want another one. He said, well, them I have really. That the reason I look for another one because them ain't giving me what I want. And she was real. If I have the liberty tonight, I can tell you this. If I have it. And there are many women in the church who can't praise God. Because there is no worship at home. Is it because when you understand the first worship and you come before God, it overflows into the second worship. You pray God for a whole new encounter. Because you know that if the first one is an introduction, it is so exciting. God have mercy. Wait till I get to church. And when you get here, those who are conducting worship don't know how to worship. Amen. So it can lead to frustration. Amen. So it was to the woman at the well that the talk moved from water to go call your man. And then she said, well, we worship. How could she know about worship? But she know what you're talking about. She don't need there. We worship up here. And you say, down there is a woman. Let me tell you right now. Ah, Lord have mercy. Now they are where he wanted to be. And he told a woman the time is and now. Now it is. When I want the same attitude towards me. Worship me in spirit. And in truth, those words were said to a woman who had a strong, insatiable desire for coitus. It's a big word. Coitus is a good word. It's a good word, right? Coitus is a good word. What a fellowship. What a joy divine.
Yeah.
That's why God told Sarah, call the child Isaac. That means to laugh. It means to have fun. Let me tell her, there should be nothing sweeter in your life than worship. It will be nothing sweeter in your life than praising God. Anything in your life now that does not bring you to the, that is more important for you than worshiping God, you are an adulterer. All heads bow, all eyes closed. Holy Father, an old woman, an old man, she's barren, he's impotent, yet you told them that the place you want them to be in, from which your son must be born, cannot be the country of their nativity. They had to leave the country, claiming and holding to no rights to that country. Leave the family and the kindred, and to go to a land that you alone will show them. And oh God, we know tonight that even when Abraham left the country, and he left his kindred, he walked with Lot. That was not your command. He had to leave everybody, family behind, but he walked with Lot. And every morning, God, he had a lot of problems because he did not obey your word. Frustration came with him everywhere he pitched the tent, for he did not leave Lot behind. God, every morning, the quarrel came up between Lot and his herdmen and your God, because he did not obey your word. Genesis 13:14 says, and the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated, not before, but after Lot had left, lift up now your eyes, look east, look west, look north, look south. And then Paul in Hebrews 11 says that what you showed Abraham was not Palestine. Because Paul says Abraham looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so God, we lack vision to see beyond eyes. We can't hear beyond ears because we did not obey your command to leave the secular world and leave all its culture and all its behavior and to follow you and depend on you alone. That's why we have not yet gained the true power of our calling in Jesus Christ. God, tonight we want to hear your call again, for the Lord had said, Lord, it's not the first time, but we want to hear the call again, Father. Get thee out of thy country. God, there's too much of the world in our heart. We can't really praise you as we ought to. But tonight, God, there can be no new birth of your son while the country's political systems reign in our consciences. We have to abandon all of these commitments, Father, for your son to be born in our hearts. And God, when he is born, there is laughter everywhere. There is joy and there is praise. And so God, we pray that you will give us the faith to know that even though we have to go down into Egypt, we do not go down there defeated. We are called the children of Israel. We will live under the worst of condition, but still be the best in praising our God. Amen. Thank you, God, for your call one more time. Give us the faith to walk away from the past. Walk into a new future. Walk by your power. Walk by your word. Walk by your strength. Walk by your spirit. And God, when time shall be no more, save us all, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.